Today on Maine Calling, street names in Maine. Where'd they come from? All over America, the most common street names reflect trees or geographic features. Think Elm Street, Hill Road, Lake Street, or Park Avenue. But in Maine, the most common street name is Main Street. But which spelling? Main Street with or without the E at the end? And what about all those unusual street names all over Maine? Yes, West Paris, we are thinking of Alcohol Mary Lane. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we learn about street names, how they're chosen, which are rejected, and why it matters. Is there a street name in your town that leaves you scratching your head? This program is part of our series, Name Calling on Maine Calling. That's just ahead.
Maine Calling is made possible in part by Rennie's, a Maine shopping adventure with 19 locations across the state, now open in Bangor and Waterville, and by Maine Seacoast Mission, delivering health care, education, and support to islands and coastal Down East communities. Learn more at seacoastmission.org.
I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. Have you ever wondered how streets get their names? Well, we'll find out today from people who oversee the naming of streets in towns across the state. And we will hear about some street names that catch people's attention, to put it nicely. This show is part of our series, Name Calling on Maine Calling, Story of Maine Names. Joining me for the hour, Maria Jakes, who is Director of Emergency Services Communication Bureau. Peter Coughlin, Director of Maine Local Roads Center. He's in the Community Services Division for the Maine Department of Transportation. And Clinton Sweat is Assessor for the Town of Cumberland and has worked in several towns in Maine. We invite you to join the conversation. Tell us about your favorite street name or one that you're curious about. Send an email, a brief email, please, to talk@mainepublic.org. Post a comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. 1-800-399-3566. You know, we've talked about town names on Maine Calling. Now we're going to go a little bit, zoom in just a little bit to streets. And I'll start with you, Clinton. You and Peter are both something called addressing officers. Learn something new every day. I didn't know that there was such a thing as an addressing officer. Or do you say addressing officer?
I just call it the addressing officer. In my town, that's part of the responsibility of the tax assessor. You're responsible for following the ordinances that accompany the 911, naming of roads. So I have to make sure that I follow the law. And, sometimes names get a little crazy and we need to, say that's not a good name. So,
well, tell us how it works. I understand that most new names these days are not changes, but rather a new development's being built or a new road is being built. And so I'm involved in a new neighborhood and I'm going to name the streets Clinton and I'm in Cumberland. What happens?
Well, you'll come and see me. I will give you a printout of all existing streets in Cumberland. So, and then I'll chastise you and say, do not use any of these existing names or anything that's similar to the names on the list. And I also ask that you give three examples of streets that you might like. And I always recommend, look at, flowers, rocks, animals, try to come up with some different names. And then once I get those names, I bounce them off of the fire chief and the police chief. Sometimes, for whatever reason, they'll say, I don't like that one. Let's go with the second choice or the third choice. So that's kind of how we do it. And once we do get a name that's confirmed, then the assessor really has to do more work. We have to log into the Maine GIS database and, cat out the street, put on the address. And then we also send a letter to the U.S. Post Office just to, so they can get that new address into their database.
It's complicated. Peter, what would you add to that as another addressing officer?
Yeah, so I started doing this in my little town of Randolph, 30 years or so ago. And we pretty much kept names, but we changed numbers to follow our ordinance, because with every addressing officer in a town, there should be an addressing ordinance, which kind of defines what Clinton said, the process of how this all works. So I have since picked up 3 other towns. So I do addressing in 4 different towns now. So I'm the official AO, so to speak. And I do it a little different than Clinton. I usually ask people to think about what name they want and then give it a couple days and then get back to me. And then what I'll do is check it against all the road names in that town or nearby that might be serviced by the same fire department and make sure that it doesn't sound the same. It's, like Beach Street and Beach Street, both the tree and the ocean. You don't want to have those things that sound the same, or versions like North Beach and South Beach. You don't want to have that sort of stuff. So I'm kind of I'm the filter before I tell the selectmen what the name's going to be. And if people are happy, then that's okay. I had one the other day where I went to the gentleman's house because it was a dead end road and he was the only one that lived on it. And he actually got back to me a couple days later and it was his last name. It was Damon's Way. I'm not going to tell you what town that is, but a week ago I got a call that his abutters, who don't own a house, but they own property, didn't like it because they were in a feud with this guy. So I said, okay, you guys figured out what you want for a name and get back to me, and I'll go from there. And they've since got back to me with a new name. So it can be a little contentious, and sometimes you got to watch out what people suggest for names too.
I bet you have to look for double entendres and things like that. Maria, I'm going to turn to you. Peter brought up the Beach Street and Beach Street, which you could very easily see might happen in Maine, as so many streets are named for trees and there are so many beaches. And I'm wondering, Maria, as somebody who's trying to make sure that ambulances and fire trucks and police officers can get to the right address in an emergency, it must be really complicated in some Maine towns.
Yeah, phonetically similar names can cause and have caused problems in towns around the state. So we try. So our office was the office who supported towns in their efforts to rename, and we helped them with those issues. But ultimately, it's the town that decides what the road name is. I can say that there are some issues. One thing we tried to do when we readdress small towns largely, but pretty much every town in Maine over a course of about 10 years, was give towns back their identity. So I'll use the town of, I don't know, Chelsea. They shared a town, a zip code with Augusta, along with Sydney. And previous to the readdressing efforts, their RFD 6 box 4810 or whatever it was had Augusta, Maine. So what we did was try to give towns back their identity so they had one address for all purposes. There are some issues.
I'm going to interrupt you a little bit when you talk about the readdressing. Those of us who have lived in Maine for a while remember that. That was a while ago that towns were encouraged to change some of the addresses that were confusing, or at least give very clear addresses. So why don't you talk about what years that effort was and if you know how many addresses were changed?
Well, we started back in about 1996 with this effort, and it went over about a course of 10 to 15 years. But when we looked at, we started the project, there were only about 50 towns that had any kind of street-like addresses, and that is, 25 Main Street or 35 Ash Street, whatever it was. And the rest of the towns were using rural route addressing. So this pretty much affected every town. And every town, even towns that had existing addresses, had to fix problems. Like Pete was talking about Randolph's issues, where they may not be sequential. You get to the end of the road, and I'm not going to get into the complications, but at the end of an intersection, you wouldn't want to cross that intersection and have a lower number than it ended with on the other side of the road. So there's different things like that that we tried to clean up and help them work through, as well as duplicate similar sounding names. And you had Coney Street, Coney Extension, Coney whatever. A lot of times towns elected to keep those road names. They're historical. There's a lot of emotion behind those names, but we tried to help them make it so that it wouldn't cause confusion in an emergency. And that's the bottom line here.
So a huge statewide effort during mainly during the 90s, but it's extended
Well,
beyond
into the
that.
two th early 2000s, yeah, too, but it was started in the 90s, yeah.
Yeah. Peter, what did you want to add to that?
Yeah, so I did Randolph in 97 when this first got kicked off, but one of the towns I just picked up a year and a half ago, they've had names in place for about that long, 30 years. And I ultimately found that it was kind of a mess because it was north this and south this. There were dead end streets where the numbering actually started at the end of the road at the dead end and then came back out backwards. And so what I ended up doing was I had to work with people, hold a public hearing, and I changed the names and numbers for about 70 people. And I knew it was going to create some controversy, and I said, I'm going to do this because it's really all about 911 and making sure people's can get ambulance or a mutual aid fire department. We have a lot of new staff that are working for fire departments and police, and they need to know exactly where they need to go without being any confusion whatsoever. So most people accepted it. I've had a few people that were not exactly happy and have given me statements to such that, but for the most part, it went over pretty well, and people actually understand when you emphasize public safety.
And one of the biggest reasons, Maria, wasn't that people referred to things as you mentioned the Augusta area. How many towns had something they referred to as the Augusta Road? And that doesn't help somebody who's in an emergency responder, especially if they may be new to the area.
Right. We did try to get towns to coordinate roads, road names. So if they had, I don't know, I can't think of one of them, but say, I know there was a road that runs up to Jackman. And there were several towns along that road that used that same name. So we tried to get them to continue the numbers at the town borders because ambulance services were serving a lot of those towns with the same ambulance service. So it would be confusing to them to have 29, I'll just call it Jackman Road, in three different towns that they serve. So there was a lot of coordination, a lot of heartache, and what Pete is talking about makes perfect sense. Towns kind of that were starting fresh, set a point of origin, and that's the number, that's the part of the town that the numbers all radiate from. Sometimes it was from the eastern border, sometimes it was from the center of town. It just depended on the makeup of the town itself.
Yeah. And I want to get to some of your stories about actual names in just a minute. But first, we're going to turn to Jamie Rice, who's Deputy Director at the Maine Historical Society. Thanks so much for calling in, Jamie.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking about the efforts in the 90s and early 2000s to rename or actually name many streets in Maine. And there's a history to that, right? I mean, for a very long time, for most of Maine's history, most roads in Maine did not have names, right?
Yes, I mean you want to look at sort of more the urban setting and the more rural setting, but that is correct as mentioned. Using route names or maybe the function of a road, like the road Augusta Road or Country Road or sort of that kind of functionality. In more urban settings like Portland or Bangor or Augusta, you do see street names kind of evolve early on in the, well, later in the colonial period, again, by their function, but then start to change a little bit, maybe about where a person lived or, after the American Revolution, moving away from names like King Street or Queen Street. But, I think what's really interesting is the evolution of the names on maps. So you start to see early 19th century, you start to see names of roads on maps, and then they start to change. In places like Portland, you have a renumbering or readdressing in the 1880s, so that starts a little bit earlier than most of other Maine, but it's to see the evolution of these different place names going from something that's more of a functionality to having a name that might be who lives there or, just people picking and choosing names based on their preferences.
Jamie, can you think of a street that's changed names a couple times or even more than a couple?
Well, I think Congress Street in Portland is a really great example. You know, it was for a while named Queen Street, and then it was called Back Street because of its position for 4th Street in the front, Middle Street in the middle, Back Street in the back as you moved up the waterfront, and then eventually changing its name to Congress Street. That's probably one of the more famous. Because Portland, there's so many maps of Portland in the early period, you can see that evolution play out in history.
And that's so interesting. And 4th Street is named 4th Street because it used to be the street along the water, right?
Right, right. It was the front street until Commercial Street appeared in the 1850s. And even that name sort of changed a little bit based on its use.
All right. And we were also talking about the fact that many streets didn't have names. How did people get their mail back then?
Well, it's a very interesting. I find it really fascinating that for a long time, even in urban settings, you could just send a letter to people and say, John Smith, Portland, Maine, or Mary Smith, Bucksport, Maine, and it would get to them. People picked their mail up at the post office rather than the delivery service. And, you know, people obviously have the same names in given towns, but people knew, community members knew who the mail was for. That kind of evolved a little bit where you would put the street name, but you didn't have to put the number because the number wasn't always consistent or it didn't exist. And so, again, it isn't until about the 1880s that you start to see some more standardization. But as we just learned, it isn't until the 1990s that you, in the more rural communities, you know, you just knew where people lived.
Yeah. Well, Jamie, thank you so much. So interesting. Jamie Rice with the Maine Historical Society. We are talking about street names in Maine. Before we go to a break, I'm going to have Clinton, you tell me a good story from one of the projects you worked on when it came to naming streets.
Well, the one thing that you do want to look out for is naming a street a cute or campy name, but, you know, I'm the assessor and you need to think of resale value. So if you're building a new house and you want to put it on No View Lane or, you know, Dirt Road or something, you know, that could affect your value down the road when you go to sell it. So you kind of steer people away from that if you can.
If you can. What about you, Peter?
Yeah, I actually am the planning board in chair in my town too, and we had a gentleman a couple years ago with his neighbor who just did not get along, and I asked him, what do you guys want to name your road? Because it was a dead end private road with two people that lived on it that didn't get along. So we had a meeting one night and they just were at each other's throats. They couldn't agree. So I just said, how about if we call it like Harmony Drive? And they both looked at each other and looked at each other with a little smirk and said, yeah, even though that's not the case, I guess we can go with that. And that's the way it's been for the last 30 years. They probably don't talk to each other, but they live on Harmony Drive.
Part of an inside, a bit of an inside joke. That's great. Maria, you have a story to share?
Well, the one thing I will say about it is sometimes people name their roads, their private roads, like Earnhardt Road or, you know, Stephen King Alley or whatever, but the sign becomes a problem. So these signs, no matter whether they're named after a person or they have some kind of a funky kind of name that people kind of like, get stolen. So towns don't like to, you know, have learned their lesson on that in that regard and kind of.
So one of the many things to think about is making sure the road has a good name, but not so good that people will want to steal the sign.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to hear. Yeah, we're going to hear about a little bit of that.
Want. Yeah.
Okay, Peter, go ahead. Before our break, give us a couple signs that get stolen a lot.
Well, there's up in New Portland and Emden, there's one called, believe it or not, Katie Crotch Road.
Oh, yeah.
And there's another one called oh, what Jackass Annie Road in Minot. And I'm told that the Katie Crotch Road sign was being stolen all the time, and it cost towns like $50 to buy a new sign. And they actually took a warrant article to town meeting one year to see if the town would change the name or deal with the theft. And believe it or not, the townspeople voted to keep the name because it was historical. It was the only one of its kind, and deal with the theft and pay tax money to replace the sign all the time. And that's just a little unbelievable to me, but it's history in Maine.
On that note, we are going to take a quick break. If you'd like to join the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. We are talking about the origins of street names in Maine, why it matters, and we'll be hearing about some of the unusual or interesting street names from all over Maine. My guest today, Peter Coughlin, who is director of Maine Local Roads Center with the Maine Department of Transportation's Community Services Division. Clinton Sweat is the assessor for the town of Cumberland, and he has been the addressing officer for four towns in Maine. And Maria Jakes is Emergency Communications Director for the state of Maine. We invite you to join the conversation. What questions do you have about the origins of names in your town? What street signs make you laugh? Send us an email, talk@mainepublic.org, comment on Facebook or Instagram, or give us a call at 1-800-399-3566. On the line with us now is Joseph Thornton, who is communications manager for the town of Scarborough. Hi, Joseph. Thanks so much for calling in.
Hi, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
I know Scarborough is a town that has actually added many streets recently. What would you like people to know about what can or cannot be a street name in your town and the process? I suspect you've been pretty busy.
Yes. Yeah, we've got a lot going on, a lot of development here in Scarborough. So seems like I'm adding a new street every week. There's a lot of challenges as we try to expand out, right? Being, you know, a pretty old community, a lot of the addressing took place a long time ago. And so we're seeing, you know, as accessory dwelling units become more and more popular, particularly here in southern Maine, we're seeing issues with having to name a lot of private driveways, which is interesting. You go along roads that have been, you know, been around for generations, and they're adding in new houses in between with shorter street frontage required, and there's no numbers in sequence. And I hear from your other guests, you know, public meetings and trying not to upset people. So a lot of times we've been adding street names or naming private driveways so that the ambulances and police cars can find the house. And it certainly gets interesting when folks start to come up with what they want to name their driveway. We've heard all kinds of fun suggestions and so forth.
Are you willing to give us a name of a reject?
Well, so I heard a lot of the conversation about names of, you know, famous people or you know, businesses. You know, we've had similar things where people have wanted to name their street after a, you know, a popular national brand or something like that, and certainly we don't want to put that out there. I think, you know, a lot of tourists coming around here, and if you see you know, I don't know, you know, McDonald's Lane, it could be pretty confusing if somebody thinks your driveway is leading them to a McDonald's or a Burger King or whatever it could be. So we've rejected a few of those. But I don't know any offhand that have been, you know, vulgar or anything like that we've had to reject. I think people are pretty aware we would never accept that in the first place.
All right. Well, Joseph, thank you so much for calling in, and good luck to you. That was Joe Thornton with the town of Scarborough. Let's see. We will go to John, who's leaving Bar Harbor. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning or afternoon. Sorry. Timely. Was just commenting on this yesterday. We visit a friend each year in Bar Harbor, and one of the roads on the way to his home has my favorite name, and I had never seen it, and now it's kind of a place marker for when we're getting nearby. And it's Amscray Lane, which is the Pig Latin for scram.
Aha! That's very Maine humor. Thanks for calling in and telling us that story, John. I appreciate it. We were talking earlier about names that of signs that get stolen. Here's an email from Noah, and also from the same part of the state. Here in Southwest Harbor, we have Pork Chop Lane, and the sign has been stolen at least 3 times, and we're in the process of getting a replacement from a recent theft. So, Maria, you know, people, you can see why somebody might want to steal the Pork Chop Lane sign, but that's not good, right? I suspect you would like to tell people, don't do that. It's not safe.
Because if someone on that road has an emergency and, you know, the emergency responder is trying to find Pork Chop Lane and the sign is missing, they'll drive right by. So this is a serious thing. So even though you might think it's humorous, you'd love to have that sign for your woodshed or whatever you want to post it on, it is serious and it can cost somebody their property or even their life.
Scott says, what about the fascinating phenomenon or towns or cities adding the letter E to their main street? I think Brunswick is a prominent example, but are there others? When and why was the E added? So Main Street versus Main Street, Maine as in primary versus Maine versus the state. Clinton, I saw you nodding, so I'm going to call on you. What do you know about towns that add an E, or was it always Main Street with an E on the end?
Well, I want to say it's always been Maine with the E. When I worked in Brunswick, that's the main drag right through town. It's Maine with an E, and that's, I mean, I was there 8 years before I got there. It was still Maine. So, but yeah, it's, I think it's been that way. I don't know of any other towns that have the E.
There are others. Doesn't Freeport, I think, has it. But anyway, there are other towns, and it's usually a historical reason why, and it's been that way.
Yeah, so in Farmingdale, as you're coming down from Augusta on State Street, you go through Hollowell, and you're on Main Avenue with an E in Farmingdale, which leads into Gardner. So I think that was purposely done because that's the main drag through Farmingdale, but it also connects to the capital of the state of Maine.
Okay. I have a question for you, Peter. I know that federal highways are odd or even determining whether they're north-south or east-west, but what about the rural routes in Maine? How are they numbered?
So those have a long history. As everybody drives around Maine, they see two types of route numbers. You see the U.S. route numbers, like U.S. Route 1, 202, 302. Those are federally designated by the state of Maine. And then you have the small black on white rectangular state route numbers, like Route 9, 236, all those. Those are determined by DOT. And those have a long history that I'm not going to get into, but most of those started out as letters. They were State Route E and F and G. And for instance, Route 100 actually starts in Portland. Most people don't know this. Route 100 starts in Portland and winds its way up through Waterville, Clinton area, and goes up and ends at an intersection in Bangor. So route numbers are really not connected to the street naming. Route numbers are more the designation of DOT, and those are only on state roads, not town roads.
And when somebody uses GPS, it may use the route number and it may use the street number, which can be confusing. But what are the people developing GPS going to do, right?
Yeah, Maria can speak on this too, but I have found a way. With all those names I changed in one of the towns I just mentioned, the 70 people, I actually found a way to get into Google Maps as an administrator, and I can actually change that. And I did that a week ago, and a couple days later, boom, it shows up on Google Maps. So it's like, wow, I can do this now, because otherwise those names don't change, and it can be really, really confusing. And I'm sure a lot of the listeners here have followed their GPS and turned on a road and that people get so much traffic on them now, they put signs up at the beginning of the road saying, if you're following your GPS, turn around because this is not the right way.
Oh, my gosh. And that's interesting, Maria. So if you are an administrator, if you've gone through some sort of formal registration process with Google Maps, you can change the name of the road?
I think people can send. Yeah, I know they can, because we get this issue. The issue that comes up for us a lot is not all private roads get mail delivery. And so with things like delivery services so common now, Amazon, UPS, whatever, FedEx, these summer people come up here and they want their packages delivered. And they'll say, oh, my road isn't in the database. And what happens in that case is what typically you're seeing is these national companies are downloading USPS, United States Postal Service addresses to put into their systems, and they don't see it as a valid address. So that we use the methodology that Pete's talking about a lot to update some of those systems for that reason, to help people out with their private roads where they are. The fact that they may choose to use a P.O. box instead of getting mail delivery alongside of the road, so their address point doesn't show up in the USPS. So we help those people out when they call our office. Probably several times a week we're doing it to make sure that folks can be found. But we reassure them that just because it's not in the USPS system doesn't mean it's not on our maps. So our maps are more comprehensive than any other private entity out there.
We'll go to Eric calling from Standish. Hi, Eric. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi. Good morning. Thanks. Before my question, I just wanted to mention I used to have a friend that lived in Gorham, and he was pretty happy about renaming his driveway Keep Away. My question is, how has everyone gravitating towards cell phone use and eliminating their landlines, how has that affected emergency services?
So go ahead, Maria.
So when people call, it used to be with enhanced 911 that most of the people in Maine at that point when we put it on in 2000-2001 time period had landline phones. And that was a certain place on earth. And that's why we readdressed, right, is to help identify exactly where somebody was when they called in. It was in a database. So if you were on 19 Main Street, it would be associated with your phone number. And then came along wireless technology. And it took a little while for the rules at the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, to come up to speed. But now there are ways that cell carriers are required to provide location information with a call. So it doesn't give it comes into our 911 system is a lot long associated with the caller and the confidence in the accuracy of that number. And it plots on a map. And our maps translate it. We'll snap it to the closest point or suggest a suggested address for that caller. So we are able to identify where callers are, but please be patient with your call takers because they're gonna verify that information. They verify it on a landline call, but it's especially important when you call 911 from your cell phone to be patient and answer their questions about where you're located. They just want to make sure that what they're interpreting from the maps and coming from the cell carriers are accurate.
Thank you, Eric, for the question. We'll go up to Concord Township and Sally. Sally, do you pronounce it Concord Township or Concord Township?
Concord.
Okay, go ahead with your question.
Hi. Yes, I'm interested in the origin of the name of a road in Solon, Maine, called Hole in the Wall Road.
You know, Sally, I see Peter nodding. Do you know, Peter, the story
of
that?
Well, I've heard of that. I remember driving by the sign there, and I really don't have the history on that, but I'm sure the fine folks that are the select woman there in town could answer that question, because the select women there have been there for a long time.
All right. Sally, thank you. And we've got some more questions about Brunswick, and I'll turn back to you, Clinton, talking about Main Street in Brunswick started as the 12 Rod Road, then the road to McCoit Landing, and the now lower part is now called McCoit Road. And I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing that right. What can you tell us about that?
Nope, you're right. It's McCoit Road. And yeah, there's a lot of different things that get named off of McCoit Road. I don't have a whole lot of history on that, but I can tell you that one other name that's kind of odd is from West Paris. It's called Alcohol Mary Road.
Yep.
So someone who lived there confirmed that. So all kinds of weird stuff. Oh, and another name that I had to reject, actually a couple that I had to reject. One was Shakespeare Way. Nobody wants to have to learn how to spell Shakespeare. And then Teddy Bear Lane. Nah, I think I said the police chief didn't like Teddy Bear Lane. So I threw the chief right under the bus, not even saying what town I was working in at the time. So
it's funny you say that, Clinton, because I feel as though I've seen a Teddy Bear Lane. So maybe somebody got away with it in another town.
Maybe.
Well, we do have to take another quick break. We are talking about the names of streets in Maine. Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. Our email address, talk@mainepublic.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today we are talking about what goes into naming street, road, avenues, and alleys in Maine. Tell us about any street name that has caught your eye or any you really don't like. With me, Clinton Sweat with the town of Cumberland, Maria Jakes with 911 Emergency Communications, and Pete Coughlin with the Department of Transportation. This show is part of our series, Name Calling on Maine Calling. Share your comments and questions by email, talk@mainepublic.org, or give us a call, 1-800-399-3566. We'll go down to York and Maggie. Hi, Maggie. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. We bought our house about 50 years ago, and it's on the Nubble Road in York Beach. And the developer's name was Shelton. And from the Nubble all the way up to the top of the highest point on the Nubble, which you can see when you come up from Long Sands Beach, it's high and then it goes down. Right across from, it was always Shelton Avenue. Over the years, things have been sold. And by us, the developer put 1-2-3-4-5-6 Avenue. People have bought that stuff. People have not maintained these private roads. So about 10 years ago or less than that, they changed my address from 78 Shelton Avenue to number 6 Fifth Avenue. Now, in the beach, mind you, there's a Fifth Street. Nobody knows where I am, and I've had so many problems with deliveries. I mean, once a lumber, they dropped it down by the Nubble, by the lighthouse somewhere. Another one, packages were delivered or thrown somewhere else, which I've never seen.
Yeah, Maggie, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask Maria what her advice for you is.
Fortunately, that issue is a town issue, so it needs to be brought to the town's attention. And we would try to guide towns not to put in duplicate roads like she is talking about that was the first thing that caught my ear. And they need to I don't know when these changes happened to the caller, but they should have taken care of it with our office and then also with the post office. And sometimes, and I'm not saying this occurred in York because I don't know without looking into it specifically what the process was and why things were done and what happened and what didn't happen as far as what they were supposed to do. But largely, this is a town issue, and we can help them work through it if they ask for our guidance for standards and best practices. But in the end, it's the town that makes those decisions.
So would you
I
recommend
always try to get this, I
Maggie
always
call
tell
town and
people.
ask for the addressing officer, the addressing officer? Yeah, all of you are nodding. Okay.
Right.
Yeah,
But
go
I have a
ahead.
tip though.
Yeah.
So if you have a friendly fire department friend who's had trouble with response to your street because of this confusion, it's always good to get them to support you with your approach to the town. Because in the end, this is all about public safety. We're doing it. Even though we all need to get our packages and our deliveries and our mail, in the end, what we really want is to people find us, to find us quickly in our time of need.
Peter.
Yeah, and I'm going to also say that the turnover rate for addressing offices is rather frequent. So it's not a full-time job, obviously, but Clint, there's a lot of towns in Maine that are the code enforcement officer also wears the addressing hat. And I found a lot of the addressing offices that are relatively new don't know that there is a town ordinance in their very own town.
Yeah.
And they really should check the ordinance because they need to know what it says in the first place. But that may also the answer and eliminate the confusion of road names, for instance, for that caller right there.
All right, go ahead, Clinton.
Yeah, I know in the town of Cumberland, and I started here in October of 24, so I'm still kind of the new guy. But the streets that drive me crazy, there's Forest Ave, there's Forest Lane, and there's Forest Lane Road.
Right.
Then there's also Goose Ledge and Goose Pond, Range Road and Range Way. So, had I been here back in the day, that wouldn't have happened, but
We'll
So,
go to
Clinton, I'd say that the challenge for you, Clinton, is to be bold like I was in the town. I changed 70 people and suggest changing those and see what reaction you get.
maybe when I get closer to retirement, Peter, I'll do that.
Okay.
I can remember when we were doing renaming, and I'd be in like the grocery line, and people would be writing, changing their addresses on their checks in front of me and complaining about their road name changes. And I just wanted to like hide, like you couldn't get away from it.
We'll go to Kate calling from Camden. Hi, Kate, go ahead.
Hi, I'm calling because I was up in Mount Desert Island recently, and I went by this little road on my way to my mother-in-law's house, and it's called Fitzhugh Lane, which I thought was pretty funny. And that's an artist, you know, the ship, he paints pictures. He's dead. He's an old artist called Fitzhugh Lane, and he's mainly a ship. He ships in Boston Harbor are what he's
Yeah.
famous for.
Well, and Kate, you know what? Carl Little also has pointed that out. Carl Little, of course, is a author of many books on art in Maine, and he said his one of his favorite street names is Fitzhugh Lane, named after the famous 19th century painter. So, thank you for pointing that out. We'll go to Fred calling from Harrison. Hi, Fred. Go ahead.
Thank you for the program. A friend of mine moved up to Hackleburnham Lane or street, and I believe it's in Hope, and I'm not in that area. And he and I got the
Hackleburnham.
big Hackleburnham,
Okay, and I have
and
a
he
feeling
and
that one wouldn't get by Clinton. It sounds like it might be hard to spell.
I.
Thanks for calling in. We're going to go to Ben, who's calling from Winter Harbor. Hi, Ben, go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'm actually in Prospect Harbour, and in Prospect Harbour, we had one of our selectmen at the time was not very happy about the new 911 addressing. The costs of signage for the town was a concern to her, and she had a road on her property which was a dirt road, which didn't really go anywhere. But she named it Not a Road, Notta Road. Which I thought was rather good.
Yep. Clinton.
Excuse me. Yeah, that's something that you're going to see more and more down the road, especially with the state of Maine making the building envelope smaller and more ADUs and double units on your lot. Any parcel that has two buildings you know, you've got to give it a name driveway and give it two new addresses. A lot of people, you know, obviously they aren't going to like that, but hey, you know, you're the one that's building the additional ADU. So
Clinton, that's curious to me. So how come, let's say if somebody's address is 42 and next door is 46, how come the new address won't just be 44?
Well, in E911, you have to measure X number of feet. And some areas, it's every 50 feet, you get a new number. Out in the rural areas, it's every 100 feet, you increment the number. So that way, you know, if the fire department's riding down a long road and they know the number is, you know, a high number, they got a long way to go to get there. So there's a reason for the numbering.
Okay. We'll go to, let's see here. Thanks, Ben. We'll go to Nancy in Orono. Hi, Nancy. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks. I noticed some time ago that there are three roads near Maine Medical Center. One of them is Carlton, the other is Everett, and the last one is Neal, N-A-A-L, and that's my grandfather's name. So I've always wondered, he did work in the South, in Portland, and I've wondered how that came to be.
You know, Nancy, I wish we still had Jamie Rice with us with Maine Historical Society. If an owner or guest on the air right now know, you may want to reach out to her. Do any of you know?
I don't.
No, the town might have some records about it because usually the developers might propose names to the sites, and there may be some information with those records, but it's hard to tell.
Yeah, I believe Neal Street has been around for a long time in Portland.
Yeah. Thanks, Nancy. An email here from Bruce. I get to research old names all the time, which is one of the most interesting things land surveyors get to do. Recently, I worked on Layton Road in Falmouth, which was not too long ago called the Underwitted Road. I wonder if there was some home for the developmentally challenged folks up on the road at some point. Clinton, you're next door in Cumberland. Do you know?
I don't know. I wish I did. That sounds like an intriguing story, but yeah, I'd have to do some research.
All right. Okay. We'll go to Patience, who's calling from Hancock. Hi, Patience. Go ahead.
Hi. Hi, guys. I love this show. I was just wondering, I was camping up in Northern Maine last spring, and we took the 20-mile road up to Moosehead Lake and just noticed that most of the roads up there are numbered. And I just was wondering if anybody knew the history of like why that one is named the 20-mile road.
The 20-mile road. Do any of you all know?
Paper companies were a lot. I did some initial numbering of some of the northern Maine woods. But that would be my guess. I don't know.
And, you know, something you said, Patience, reminds me of a Facebook post. This is Lori who says, being from away, I noticed that if a roadway in Maine is named road, it's often preceded by the word the. For example, I lived on Ruth Avenue, but it was off the Coldbrook Road. The mall was between Stillwater Avenue and the Hogan Road. Try it, only in Maine. Any of you have thoughts about that phenomenon?
It's true. I think that's a Maine thing.
A Mainerism.
Must be the same way why the Forks is called the Forks.
That's right. Yeah. Well, Patience, thank you so much for your call. Let's see here. We have, so many emails and so little time. Well, why don't I just go back to each of you? We've got about a minute left. And if you want to each share with us maybe one of your favorite road names, or favorite story before we say goodbye. I'll start with you, Peter.
Yeah, so I had a whole list of them here. I'll just name off a few quick ones. Overtaxed Lane in Sullivan. Go Way in Winthrop, but Goa Way in Edgecombe, and Go Away Road in Livermore Falls. Lois Lane, as in Superman, I found in six towns. There is Shy Beaver Road in Hollis. There's even a murder road in Topsom that has a dead end sign next to it.
Oh, that's funny. Okay, Clinton, I've got a lot more. Why don't you send them to us? We'll put them on Facebook. Clinton, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah. Up in Camden, there's a road called Dirt Road, which someone told me about. And that's That's about all I had.
Okay, Maria, your turn.
I can't remember. My staff's going to be very upset with me for not remembering them. But I like Clinton's advice that is that if you have the opportunity to propose a road name for yourself, think about the resale value. But also, more importantly, think about the public safety implications of the name. And if it's difficult to spell, if you find yourself having to spell it every time you offer it, then that's a problem, right?
Okay.
It shouldn't be.
I'll say one more thing. People need to make numbers on their house. The road is good, but you have to put a number on your house.
I did that, patting myself on the back. Thank you all for joining us today. The voice you just heard, Pete Coughlin, the director of the Maine Local Road Center in the Community Services Division for Maine DOT. Maria Jakes, director of Emergency Services Communications, and Clinton Sweat, assessor for the town of Cumberland. Today's sound engineer was Jane Donahue. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan and Cindy. I'm going too fast. This is Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.